It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
Let that music go a little longer. Is there a better intro to a song than this? Tim Lacombe joins us, as always, brought to you by Sperian. Are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire. Let Sperian Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Sperian.com. Iconic, is it not, Tim?
Very iconic. I love the ad that's running right now, where yes. Slash is trying out for the band. You know?
I know, right? Yeah. Where does he where does he rank on musicians, guitarists?
Oh man, I remember. I mean, certainly innovative. The Appetite for Destruction came out right in my wheelhouse, like 86-ish. I didn't really discover it till 87, and when I did, it was like. I really do think it kind of changed my vision on a few things. but he's, I mean, it's hard like anything to say, you know, this guy's this or that. It's like basketball players. They have certain strengths. I think his, that intro is really, I mean, there's some dexterity going on there, you know, so certainly can move around the fretboard really well. And he's got a really good stage presence. Obviously he's a one-word guy, Slash.
There's certain albums that when you hear it, it kind of, especially when you're younger, when you're, you know, in your teenage years, and you hear an album, you're like, oh, okay, this is different. Appetite for Destruction is one of those, for sure.
Yeah, it had, like, you know, a lot of hard edge to it, but it was, you know, it was similar to kind of the, you know, the hair bands of the time were writing songs about love. They were like writing songs about love in all forms, right? The Guns N' Roses got in there, and they added a little more anger to the game, I think. And
a little bit more angst,
I don't know, but something about their full sound, dude, was just... I remember it blew my hair back. You know, I still remember it, even... I think about it, and the hair stands up on the back. I'm like a music nut, though, so we could talk about this stuff all day.
So, you look at the stat line last night, and it, you know, I was calling the Utah State game, and got home, and then kind of was reading up, and then watching a good chunk of the Jazz and the Raptors from last night. But I looked at the stat line before I watched the game, and I'm like, I don't know how the Jazz won this game. They get out, you know, the offensive rebounds, the turnovers, but tell you what, the Jazz gutted it out there in the fourth and probably won a game that maybe they shouldn't have.
Well, it's funny because I know you didn't listen to me on the post game because I was listening to you on the way home. So that's how late you were on. Listen to you and Spence, in fact. But I said the same thing. I mean, if somebody were to just grab the stat sheet and look at the numbers that you typically look at first, like, holy cow, you know, the offensive rebound numbers scare you to death. But just the number of shots taken. I thought the crazy stat of the night, Scotty, was they, being the Raptors, had 41 more shots at the rim and restricted area combined than the Jazz. Jeez. And they only made six more of them. So that's kind of the wacky night it was. You know, a lot of stuff at the rim, a lot of tips, a lot of, you know, block shots, obviously. You know, look at Walker's line. But the Jazz shot the ball extraordinarily well, and the Raptors didn't. And really, that's the tail of the tape.
How concerned are you about rebounding with this team? Kessler's great, but other than that, there's not a lot of great rebounding. And we don't have huge aspirations for this team as making a deep playoff run. But how difficult is that to maneuver for Will Hardy and this staff?
Yeah, it's something that, as it's kind of gone in spurts. I think early in the season they weren't great at it. I think they got to the point where it wasn't as big an issue, and the number, defensive rebounding numbers started to move up. As of late, it's dropped a little bit again, and I think last night was certainly concerning. But with Walker in there, with Kelly in there, and with Lowry in there, those lineups, those guys should be able to hold their own. That's big guys. I think just attention to detail, hitting, Will talked about it, making sure you get a hit. You have to do that. You can't just assume or go try to chase the ball down because you're playing against big, big guys that have good instincts. So first thing you have to do is go hit. It's a discipline thing. I think they're capable of it, so I'm not overly concerned because I think where they have put their emphasis, they've gotten better.
I'm trying to find new and different ways to ask questions about how great Walker Kessler can be, because it feels like it's a topic of conversation every time we talk, but yet he does something new and it's like, oh, great, we got to talk about this too. I mean, it's been such a joy to watch him and his accelerated development throughout the course of a season.
Yeah, it's almost like seeing what it would mean to have some Apple stock, that actually went berserk.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a whole lot of expectation, I talked to people around the league prior to the draft, and his name came up a bunch because he played so similar in so many ways to Rudy Gobert. And Rudy Gobert had just, is coming off winning three Defensive Player of the Year awards. So I think that's worth kind of saying, hey, what is this guy all about? To me, Scotty, the part that's the most encouraging is he's so far out ahead of the game in terms of, depend on where you get drafted. Sometimes you can go somewhere and sit for a year, maybe only play mop-up minutes. But the fact that he's got all these minutes in these games that matter, he's flourishing, right? So you're starting to see development. And I still believe his offensive game is better than we think. I just think he's focused right now on, as Will says all the time, keeping it fairly simple. There's a lot to just ball screening and rolling, from angles to timing, all that stuff that, the average fan would have no idea. So I think there's more good things to come on the offensive side, too. I really do.
You go back and people forget Rudy Gobert was in the G League for a while, didn't get a lot of minutes, and maybe that was, a little bit on Tyrone Corbin, not throwing him to the Wolves early on, but his development wasn't anywhere near what you're seeing in terms of speed and acceleration is what you're seeing from Walker Kessler right now. And that's what I think has got people really excited, Coach, is the fact that he seems to be so ahead of schedule as to what we would have expected. And I'm with you. When that trade went down, I'm thinking, okay, looking at all the firsts, all the pick swaps and everything that came along with it, Vanderbilt, all right, that's cool. And you look at, some of the other players that came over. And then, oh, yeah, there's this rookie that they picked, Walker Kessler, big dude out of Auburn, but okay, whatever. Let's talk more about the picks and the players. We had no idea what this guy was going to be, and that's what makes it so much fun. I think that's what got people so fired up about this.
Yeah, and honestly, across the board, what guy that the Jazz brought in has been disappointing? And the answer is none.
Yep.
right? I mean, very rarely do you just absolutely thrash a trade like that where you get all those picks, and really that was what everybody talked about early. And if you remember, and I was talking about this, but Ainge, when he makes a trade, you got to look at all the components because, you know, he couldn't necessarily pick the picks for these teams, but he knew who they drafted. And so, you know, the Jazz had intel on an Ochai that they really liked. They had intel on Walker. Now, to the point that he is, no way, because I don't think anybody had that. But anyway, just fascinating stuff. And Walker, right before our eyes, like last night, he made another play that was just crazy. He literally blocked a one with his right hand, batted another way or way with his left hand, then sprinted out in front of the play and ended up finishing an alley-oop dunk. And so, to your point, like Rudy Gobert was nowhere near that in year one. And yeah. I love Rudy to death, but we all know what it took for him to get where he got. And that's why this is like, holy smokes, you know, it's pretty good stuff.
You buying Ochai Agbaji stock right now?
Yes. And not like, you know, not to be a superstar, but you watch games that you watch around the league, you know? I mean, it's the guys in the shadows sometimes. You know, the pieces that the Warriors had alongside them that were just solid, a Kyle Anderson type guy. You know, as you watch the kind of the playoffs develop this year, watch for the, you know, maybe a guy like Desmond Bane. But you need those guys, and I think he's a guy who the Jazz, you know, can use all day long. A very physical guy, can guard his yard, is becoming a very good corner three-point shooter now, you know, working to try to become a better above-the-break three-point shooter. But love his mindset, love his attention to detail, and I love, again, the way Will's brought him along. You know, didn't give him the keys to the car from the start, worked with the G League, went through the process, and now all these things are starting to pay fruit.
Tim Lacombe joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Just how difficult do you think it is when you're trying to play and stay focused and do everything you can, but you see your name being dropped in trade rumors right and left? I mean, I guess Conley's been dealing with it for a bunch of years, so it probably doesn't matter to him, but I got to imagine that's a difficult distraction trying to stay dialed into what your responsibilities are.
Yeah, and it's just talking to guys, you know, through the years. It's definitely something that you have to be mentally strong about. Ultimately, I think the key, and really what I've been told, is you focus on the fact that you've got a deal. You know the situation you're in. You don't know the situation you're going to, and that's the scary part. But oftentimes, the situation's better. I mean, look at Lauri Markkanen. You know, he traded twice, and you know, the situations were different both spots, but he gained a ton. I think he gained a ton of insight to how the league works and what it takes to be a pro, you know, in his first stop in Cleveland. And then, in Chicago. And then I think in Cleveland, to be able to get out on the perimeter and be able to play a wing. And we see that paying dividends right now, right, off of the summer he had with the Finnish national team.
Anticipate later today, Lauri Markkanen is going to be named an All-Star. Would you agree with that?
Not just yes, but hell yes.
Hell yes. And deservedly so, too. I mean, has this always been in his bag, or did it just take the right situation, the right coach to coax this out of him?
No, I think we're all a work in progress, and we're all kind of a sum of our experience. And like I said, I think he owes a ton to the process. One thing I did hear about him, from a bunch of people growing up, was his dad was hell-bent. Any team he ever played for, he was not to be like the old typical, he's the tallest guy, so he's going to play center. He would want Lowry to play guard, and he would kind of negotiate that going in so that, when he got to a place, it was a given, and they wasn't going to get stuck. And if a coach told him up front they would do it and didn't, he'd move him. You know, so he played for a lot of teams. But you know, his dad's persistence to, because it is his ability to be a threat at all three levels. He's got the shot at three, now the shot fake and drive. We've seen the powerful dunks, which blow me away. You know, I wasn't quite ready for that. And then, obviously, his ability to post up and kind of play in that mid-range. So, a guy that was, you know, thrown on the scrap heap a couple times, goes to the All-Star game, and I still think his best years are ahead of him, which is even more exciting.
Want to talk a little college basketball with you. Utah State gets a nice win last night. Utah is seeming like they've turned a corner and are improving under Craig Smith. BYU has some struggles. And the thing about BYU that is, I think, maddening a bit for Cougar fans is that they have looked so good. Now, granted, gut-punching, heartbreaking losses to St. Mary's and Gonzaga. And I know you had a close view of that St. Mary's game. And then difficult losses outside of that. Where do you think the hang-up is right now for BYU? Is it just simply they can't shoot right now, or where do you think what do you think is slowing them down?
I think it's in a word. It's consistency. I mean, the one thing they've been all year long is competitive. You know, they had that little stretch where they lost a couple games that they were frustrated about with South Dakota and UVU. UVU, yeah. I went and watched them the other night, Scotty. That's a real team, man.
Oh, I know.
Holy cow.
I love their big man. I love that I forget his name, but the shot blocker's great.
Yeah, he's Aziz Bandago. And
yep.
I'm telling you, dude, that dude's a pro, like a real.
Yep.
That's a real dude. So anyway, I think more than anything, BYU's competed all year long. I thought they'd been ultra prepared. I think they got behind the eight ball personnel-wise a little bit, like we did a couple times, where you've just got to roll young guys out there and or inexperienced guys out there. And sometimes luck shines upon you, and you're able to win enough that the confidence can kind of roll, and sometimes you're not. And, you know, it's those two games is so frustrating because they had both those games won, and I thought BYU did an awesome job in both at preparing and being ready to go, but sometimes it's just how the game works, and it's why everybody's chasing trying to win for good, right? Because it's so hard to win at all.
Well, Coach, you're the best. Always fun catching up with you. We're all a little cooler when we do get to hang out with you, and thanks for your time.
Hey, I got a date we can start to think about for the Hounds operation in town. It's going to be in August.
Nice. The Hounds are back.
Yeah, so we'll publicize as we go.
I love it. Hey, appreciate it. Hey, those jobs still available? I know you're trying to fill 100 spots. That was a great gig you were talking about.
Yes. Actually, the one right now, that one, you know, we've got a really good pool going for that one I talked about before. This one now is we need some customer service in Utah County. If you speak Mandarin, Chinese, we can use somebody, and got a great opportunity there. So reach out to us, spherion.com/Utah, or you can always reach out to me on Twitter. I'm they're trying to call me the fairy job father, but I'm fighting it.
Visit them online at spherion.com, spherion.com/Utah, or just find Tim on Twitter. Send him a DM. Those DMs are open. Slide right into those DMs, and let's get you a job. Love it. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Scotty. Thanks, man. See ya.
You got Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We're live here at My Hearing Center looking for 100 people. If you're dealing with some hearing issues, you or a loved one, they've got the brand new Stiletto AX hearing aids ready for you to try, and try right now. And the great thing is, when we say try, you're going to get 30 days to try these out risk-free, and either way, you're going to hook them up with a Home Depot gift card at the end of those 30 days.
That's right. So if you have hearing loss, if your family has hearing loss, or your neighbor has hearing loss, give us a call, get them scheduled for a free hearing evaluation. Come with them. Make it a little date night if you want to, or date day. And enjoy. We'll also do some screening for the person that maybe doesn't have a hearing loss, just to double check.
Yeah.
As part of the routine, we also do a familiar voice test. So we'll actually test your loved one's voice or actually test your hearing and how well you can hear their voice, and then we'll flip it on them. We can actually take your hearing loss or the individual's hearing loss and present that same hearing loss through some of the technology we have to the person to see what the difficulties that person's having with hearing, and it adds some empathy.
Wow.
Yeah, it adds a little empathy. So all that is going to be done during the testing, and then you'll be able to try the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. If during the 30 days we find out that, hey, you know what, the Stiletto is nice, but it's not the best hearing aid for you, there's a plethora of different products that we can use to make sure that you're hearing the best that you possibly can. And then at the end of the 30 days, like you said, we'll give you a gift card to the Home Depot.
801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. Also important to know that you've got offices. I mean, we're down here in Sandy right now, but you've got offices all up and down the Wasatch
Front. Oh, yeah, all the way down to Nephi and actually all the way to Gunnison, if you can hear us out in Gunnison.
There you go.
And then all the way up to Ogden. If you're out in Vernal freezing today, we can get you in a nice warm sound booth. And, heck, they'll offer you some hot chocolate, I'm sure, while you're out there with coffee. Keep you warm and then also get your hearing tested.
801-438-7058. Call right now. My Hearing Center right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
From CBS Sports, he covers college football. Shehan Jeyaraja joining us on the program.
The nice thing about the Big 12 right now for anybody is that there is not a dominant team, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave. There is no obvious Goliath to get over the hump. So I do think that makes the path a little bit easier. When you talk about competing year in and year out for the conference, I do think that it often takes about 3 to 5 years before you really find your rhythm, not just because you need to sort of build things up from a recruiting and talent perspective, although that's a big part of it, but also because I think that it takes a minute for a school to really build their identity within a conference. And BYU's in an interesting position because they've been an independent for so long and created a version of themselves that can do a little bit of everything.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies,
yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, wrapping up the signing day. As the official day came to an end yesterday, and the signing period is now in the books, as Utah State, BYU, and Weber State wrapping up their classes. Mickey Mental for Weber State is going to join us coming up here in just a moment, get his thoughts on his first class, and essentially how things are looking at Weber State as they regroup and retool and get ready for an upcoming season. And joining us now, former offensive coordinator, now head coach at Weber State, Mickey Mental joins us. Does it, Coach, first off, how are you? How are things?
Things are going well.
Does it feel weird to say head coach, or is that kind of sunk in now?
It's kind of sunk in now.
Hey, you get the official class is now in the books after yesterday. Did you feel like you got most of your work done in December? Was there still a lot of work to be done leading up into February?
I feel like we were on a good path come December. We had the guys targeted, in my opinion, correctly. We hit on a few early on in December, and then obviously made a made the push for this second signing day. So real proud of, obviously, our assistants and what they were able to accomplish. And they worked their butts off to, obviously, finish this class out the right way.
So kind of walk us through when you take over a job, and I've heard coaches say it's like drinking from a fire hose, you know, your first few months on a job. Has it felt like this? And how hard was it to switch into recruiting mode and get things back on track after, you know, after a coaching change?
I was blessed, obviously, to keep the staff in contact. I think that's the biggest thing. And then, obviously, you know, this is my second go-round at it. First time was during COVID, so I don't think it gets much more crazier than that. So, but no, obviously you got to regroup and make sure everybody's on the same page. And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, just trying to relay your vision. Not that it differed from Coach Hill's that much, but just make sure we're always on the same page as the coaching staff.
How? What were some of the needs that you had to address, and how do you feel like those were addressed with this class?
You know, when you always talk about need, I think college football is always about acquiring depth from a young person. If you're a good program, then obviously I don't think you have as many young players come in and play. But obviously, I think the guys that we got are difference makers, whether it be now or in the future. But you know, you're just looking to build your roster. And always making sure the cupboard's full.
Obviously, some key losses in the transfer portal. That's the life you guys are living in right now in the world of college athletics. How difficult is it when you're dealing with NIL at the FBS level and some of those things to try to hold on to a roster?
I think it makes it more challenging just because of the you know, some of the programs that have a operating budget or NLI. Accessibility greater than you, but I think as long as you're upfront and honest with young people, and you know, want to coach them hard, you want to see them be successful, I think you're going to be in a good predicament as you obviously battle some of these different NIL deals.
You had a receiver from SMU, Jalen Record. Kind of give us your thoughts on him and how he can impact your team.
Jay. It's crazy because when I was at Notre Dame, we were the first ones to offer him. So I had a previous relationship with Jay. Very explosive, very fast. The thing that sticks out to me about Jay is, you know, his willingness to work. And he's about ball. He's about, you know, bettering the team, bettering himself day in and day out.
You look across your class here, including your December signings, you know, you're all across the board, you know, Washington, Texas, California. Is that recruiting area still, you know, pretty much the same heavy, you know, you try to go Utah and then outside of that, is that kind of the same range that you're looking at as what we saw in previous years at Weber State?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you got to take care of home. Even though we were unable to sign any no Utah kids on a scholarship, but we got some really good players coming in from the state, whether it be obviously missionary or whatever. I feel good. You got to protect home. So I felt we offered the right kids. Things just shook out differently, and that's the world of recruiting. But obviously outside the state, you want to supplement in-state guys, and I thought we did a really good job of that this year.
What sets Weber State apart from other FCS schools? I mean, you've been with the program for a year now. Now you're as the head coach. When you're in a kid's living room, what are you selling about Weber State?
The people, first and foremost, you know. Like I told these guys that signed, I was in your shoes 9 months ago on why should I come to Weber. It was really easy. It was about the people you work with, the people that are going to impact your son's life, whether it be on the field, off the field, in the weight room, in the training room. You're just surrounded by good people that want to see young people succeed at a high level.
Mickey Mental, new head coach at Weber State, joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. From a schematic standpoint, obviously the offense will remain the same. You ran it last year. You kept a lot of guys currently on staff. So when somebody shows up there at the stadium coming up in the fall, is what this team does, I mean, the feel and the look of this team will be pretty much what we saw in years past from Weber State?
Yeah. You know, obviously the success that they've had at Weber State over the past 6-7 years. I mean, we just got to continue on our journey in our process and get better each and every day and focus on us. You know, obviously to take that next step, you gotta do some things a little bit different within the season. So you have the ability to get a first round bye, to put yourself in a predicament to obviously challenge for a national championship.
Do you, I guess I'm trying to think of the right way to ask this. Were you surprised by the quality of ball in Big Sky play, or were you expecting this conference to be as tough as it is? Because I mean, it's, this is they get after it in the Big Sky.
I've had multiple people work in the Big Sky. My previous my coordinator in college at BW was the offensive coordinator at Eastern Washington at the time, and now he's at Hawaii and Ian Shoemaker. So always had conversations with him, and then obviously one of the guys, my offensive line coach at Notre Dame, played at Cal Poly. So you hear stories, and obviously you read and watch games. I mean, I knew that was one of the biggest attractions in coming to the Big Sky. You know, it's possibly the best FCS conference in America. So very familiar with it, and obviously one of the reasons why I wanted to get into it.
You know, we hear a lot of, you know, old get off my lawn guys say the kids are different these days and you have to treat them different as a coach. Have you noticed that in your years, or are kids still pretty much the same? They just want to be coached hard and hopefully give a chance to be successful.
I think it's, you know, the biggest thing is how you connect with certain individuals, certain players. I think as long as you can connect in coaching, it's the same. Obviously, some of the tactics on how you connect are different. You can't coach them how you used to back in the day, but everybody wants the same goal. They want to obviously have the opportunity at the next level and get a degree. So as long as they're passionate about those things, I think you can push them as hard as you can.
So Bronson Barron hits the portal. I know a lot of people, especially from your background on the offensive side, want to talk quarterback. What's that room look like going into spring, and what can Wildcat fans expect there?
I mean, obviously you're going to have, Kylan Weiser is coming back. Obviously a guy that's had a lot of experience in playing in games. Creighton Cooper, who's played in games and has experience. And then we got two guys in Brian Harp and Jay Collingshouse who have done a good job in this past year. And then obviously we brought in Richie Munoz and Dylan Gutierrez out of California. So I love where our room's at. And then obviously, I'm sorry, Tiger Adolfa from Idaho won a state championship. He's currently on the roster, and, you know, I loved what I saw out of him. So I think we got pieces now. It's about how do we develop those pieces. But anytime you can bring back a Kylan Weiser and a Creighton Cooper who played big-time ball, you feel good about it.
I know that you've got a lot of guys on staff that have dealt with it, but from your perspective, how difficult is it to try to learn how to deal with the missionary program and stagger rosters to try to compensate for guys that are going to be gone for 2 years?
It's different for me, obviously. I haven't had to deal with it, but obviously with the guys on staff, just talking to them, what are some of the things I should be looking for, or how should we go about it? They give me really good insight and feedback on certain situations. Some of our coaches actually went on a mission, so it definitely helps me put things in perspective and make a great decision when it's all said and done.
Can that sometimes be advantageous when you get guys that are a little older and a little bit more mature?
Absolutely. I think the hunger sometimes is there, you know, being away from the game for 2 years. They don't take certain things for granted, obviously, after they serve their mission. And then, obviously, when you're a totally different person when you're 18, the 21-year-old, or 21.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time.
Thanks for more maturity.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is a huge advantage.
Sorry, cut out there for a second, but appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. And look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, Scott.
You got it. Mickey Mental, new head coach at Weber State, joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Lloyd, I've not broken the news to Coach Mental or well, Paul Gruitt knows about it, but he's got to be prepared to sit down with us for the 60 and 60. So,
yes, we're going to have to definitely welcome him to that.
He doesn't know that he's on the hook for a few players on that for this year, but we'll get it going for sure. Hey, look, we're only we're still a few months away, but we'll be starting to put it together here pretty soon.
Yeah, but it goes by fast. You don't realize it. I know we're at the end of football, and it's like, oh man, I can't wait. But before you know, it's like, man, we're here, and it's going, and it's ready, and 60, and we're going to start the 60 and 60, and it'll be here in no time.
First week of June, usually around June, I don't know, about 7th, 8th is when we announce number 60, and then it goes right into the start of the college football season. But we'll start putting ballots together in April, maybe late March, and go from there, man. Let's go. Cannot wait. There's a lot of intrigue this year for college football. Obviously, with Utah back-to-back conference championships, BYU in the Big 12, we'll have not just Pac-12 media days this year, but Big 12 media days. You got Weber State for the first time without Jay Hill in forever, with Jay Hill now running the defense at BYU. Utah State, a little bit of flux up there at the quarterback position. Who takes over that spot? Can they get things back and going? I mean, they were able to rebound after an ugly start last year, go to a bowl game, but there's a lot of intrigue coming up into this upcoming college football
and
season.
I gauge my excitement for college football by how many downloads we get on the Morning After podcast, and we hit record numbers. Like, we went over 35 a couple times. Like, we hit record numbers, so the excitement's there, and I expect it to go up even more this year.
Yeah. I would anticipate that. Big 12 football. And, you know, the other thing, too, is we've noticed this, and I mean, I'll let people behind the curtain there. I mean, we will see downloads, especially with BYU content, sky high September into October. But then when they get a loss or two, there's really nothing else to play for, right? You know, you don't have a conference title. The November schedule is trash. And again, I'm not knocking Tom Homo. He's doing the best he can. But let's just be honest here. Those November games were usually on the road. There wasn't meaningful football in November for BYU football. Once you get that first loss or two, you can go 10-2 or 6-6. You were going to the same bowl game. And so we would see, you know, declines in downloads and things like that when November, late October would roll around. Well, now you've got, you know, BYU could be, let's say, 6-4. All right. Not a particularly great record. And in years past, that wouldn't really move the meter that much. But now you got Oklahoma coming to town in mid November. You've got a road game to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State again against Mr. I'm a man. I'm 40. You got all this stuff going on. And it doesn't matter if you're 6-4. You're still playing for bowl games. You're still playing for conference standings. Your players are playing for postseason awards. Like, there's just so much on the table that just hasn't been there in the last decade for BYU that is now accessible. And again, I'm not knocking independence. It was the right thing to do. Tom Homo made the absolute right decision to go independent. But doing that, there were a lot of sacrifices. And now all of those are reinstated and BYU is ready to go. Just fantastic. Fantastic storylines for the Cougars coming up in 2023. All right, hands of Scotty. Take another break. Come back. Whole World News. Right, coming up next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Jason Cole, NFL writer and columnist for Outkick.com, joining us.
To me, as I look at this, and we were looking at the line, it looked like Philly was a slight favorite. But do you have any level of surprise that Philly would be favored by a couple points?
No, I think that the money's going to move back and forth on this one.
Right.
Depending on the health of the two quarterbacks. It's close to begin with. You're going to wonder, is Jalen Hurts' arm good enough? It certainly didn't look like it on Sunday, right? Or, vice versa, how can Patrick Mahomes move and get out of the way of that strong Philly rush? And how are they going to protect against that strong Philly pass rush? To me, ultimately, the next 2 weeks are a daily evaluation of one guy's shoulder and one guy's ankle.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Remember, ReMedical is Utah's only physician-owned and operated wellness clinic offering ED treatments, discreet, non-invasive, and customized for your needs. Visit ReMedical.com today. All right, hands. All right, Lloyd. Sorry. Hands back on Monday.
I get it. You miss him. It's okay. It's fine.
I do miss him.
I know. I get it.
But there are stories that we can share that we probably couldn't share if Hans were here. He would veto this one pretty quickly. But I do think this is an important story to talk about.
Well, if this is going down a certain line that you like to cross, and he wouldn't be okay with it, why would I be okay with it? And we know what line this is, right?
Oh, I think it's a good... Okay, what line do you think it is?
I don't know. Is it the line of a creature that is our best friend that we like to look at?
No. Hey, okay. No dogs are involved.
No dogs involved.
It's going to be goats. It's going to be goats.
Okay.
The former director of a zoo in southern Mexico apparently killed four of the zoo's goats and served them up as a Christmas season party for employees. The four animals were slaughtered and cooked on the zoo's premises, according to the State Department Director of Wildlife. Ruben Nava has been replaced as the director of the local zoo in the city. I'm not going to try to pronounce the name. Following the death of a deer on the premises. So, you know, look, apparently a deer died in the zoo. They come in, they investigate, and they find all kinds of stuff going on here. Not only did they have a Christmas party where they're slaughtering goats and cooking them on site, but also many animals had allegedly been sold, traded, or eaten under Nava's orders. Apparently a bunch of cattle were also traded to private individuals. There is an allegation that a zebra had been traded for some tools needed to fix things around the zoo. See, that's just, you know what, that's just bargaining right there. You need something, you don't have the funds. All right, what would you like? A zebra? Okay, fine. Here, take the zebra, and let's get the zoo kind of cleaned
like,
up.
Like, isn't that what, okay, I don't know if I'm, you said I probably wouldn't like this story, but isn't that like what, okay, the eating part of it, I don't think I'm okay with, but trading animals for maybe tools or something like that, isn't that how our world was built? Like way back in the day, like
an old school barter system. Now it's sort of like, you know, cattle for wheat. You're trading a zebra for, you know, a couple cordless drills. You know?
Right.
More power to you.
I mean, but they shouldn't be eating the zebras, or they shouldn't be eating lions or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to, you know, that's the problem. You know, some guy backs up with a trailer and says, all right, here's your tools. Now I'm going to put that trailer in the back, and that trailer drives off with your zebra. I don't know what the future holds for that zebra. It may not be good, but you got your tools and you can, you know, fix up your zoo. So you're going to be fine. I don't know what kind of zoo this is, though, when you got goats and cattle and stuff. I mean, it seems like a pretty low budget zoo.
Are these calming goats?
I don't know if these are the yoga goats. No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
About that.
Well, I mean, they serve lots of purposes, and they use, you know, calming goats for other animals to be just friends, essentially to keep them cool. So I'm just curious. That's kind of messed up if you're eating calming goats.
At what point is a goat ever going to calm anybody? They're noisy. They're You know, I got.
They put them all the time in with horses and stuff. Go ahead. Keep going. If this is the path you want to go down, Scotty, go ahead. No, it's okay. We're here. It's much better than what we have coming up next anyway, so might as well.
Hey, whoa.
Hey, by the way, I told you I'm all on board with this, by the way.
People want to know about the Broncos.
Yeah, I know.
Want to know about Sean
and I'm
Payton.
So on board with him, like, essentially doing what he did the last time Russell Wilson was on.
Okay, the last time
Kevin,
the last time we talked to Nick Ferguson was when Russell Wilson was traded to the Broncos, and we were all doing.
And you would have thought they were going to win 7 Super Bowls.
Yes.
So I'm all on board with that. If he's the jinx that keeps this from happening, I'm about it. I'm all about it. You, all you Broncos fans that are listening right now, like if this goes south, you can thank Scotty.
And Nick Ferguson.
And Nick Ferguson, because he could be the jinx. We'll find out.
All right. So there you go. Apparently, if you own a zoo in Mexico, you can, look. Hey, what are we going to do for the Christmas dinner? I don't know. What we got hanging out in the back? I've got a few goats. All right. Serve them up. Let's go.
You just channeling your inner Gordon Monson with the most depressing stories.
You say depressing. I say that's ingenuity right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I know.
He's a problem solver.
Man.
All right.
They need to cook him up.
Matt's hanging out with us. We're live here at My Hearing Center. This is a serious issue. People are dealing with hearing issues. So much of relationships, quality of life. There's a lot of guys out there that their wife's saying, hey, can you do this? And you're like, what? No, I need you to do this. What? Well, you just go do it. And then you're like, oh, why are you yelling at me? Come on. You know, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, it's first of all, it's physically impossible to elevate your voice, to yell, and to smile at the same time. So if you think about it, you're asking people to repeat themselves.
I hadn't really thought of that before.
You ask them to repeat themselves, the repetition gets louder with the ask, right?
Yeah.
So the more times you ask them to repeat, the louder it gets. So the louder it gets, the more it sounds like you're angry.
Yep.
You know, you can't smile like, hey, how's your day? Like, be really loud and ask, unless you're just a loud person. But you know what I mean? Like, if you scream somebody, how's your day?
Yeah.
It comes off like aggressive. And then immediately, when someone's aggressive, the brain goes, I gotta go on the defense.
Yep.
And now you're having an argument when all you want to know is like what kind of soup they're eating or whatever. Right? Now you're having an argument. So to avoid those and to keep things copacetic at home, a simple thing you can do is just come down and have a hearing evaluation. We do free hearing evaluations at all of our offices. Like you mentioned earlier, we're all the way up to Ogden, all the way down to Nephi, everywhere in between. If you have a problem hearing, if you have someone that's telling you have a problem hearing, come together, come down, test. We had this happen a couple times, but the one that happened to me was a husband and wife came together, and he knew he didn't have a problem, but she knew that he did.
Yeah.
And so they came together, and we tested his hearing, okay, and said, before we reveal the results, let me test your hearing as well. The spouse tested her hearing, and we got to reveal the results, and the husband had a big smile, and she had a grimace on her face when this was over, because he did not have a hearing loss, but she did have a hearing loss.
Wow. Wow.
And so it kind of turned. So that's an uncomfortable place for me to be in.
That's a plot twist right there.
A big plot twist. It does happen. It doesn't happen a lot. Usually you kind of, everyone knows who has the hearing loss. There are people in denial, and sometimes it helps to come, handhold them down here and talk to them. But ultimately, we don't want you to have a hearing test. We don't want you to just have hearing aids. We want you to have better experiences with the people that you love. And so come down, try the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. See if it does help you out in those conversations. See if it does help you out in your business meetings or when you're out to lunch with your friends. If it does, great. We've got special pricing for you at the end of the 30 days. If you want to keep them. If it doesn't, you're not totally satisfied, we take them back. No problem. Either way, we're going to give you a gift card to the Home Depot as a thank you.
So there's this guy that I want to be careful here. There's this guy that I know. He's around us when at Utah State games, works up there. And he's got really this old school hearing aid that has like to the side of your head and stuff like that. This is old school hearing aid. And I want to be like, hey, let's get you to my hearing center. Let's get you some new ones, because they're so, a lot of people think hearing aids and they think that they have these big contraptions attached to their head. These things are so discreet and hard to see.
They're very discreet. Now, there are people that have a cochlear implant that's a little bit more what you're describing, I think, that he could, but the technology on that has come a long way as well, especially with the digitizing and the AI. We haven't even talked about the AI assistant that allows you to dip into a database of information on what's the best way to program those hearing aids specifically for the environments that you're in, and then makes those adjustments automatically, seamlessly, without you even knowing they're happening. There's all of this technology that can help anybody. If you have a hearing aid that's over a year or over 2 years old, the technology's come a long way. It's time to try something different, especially if it's 5 years or older. We really got to come in and see the difference, and especially not just in that, but also in the rechargeability of the hearing aids.
Yeah.
If you're replacing batteries still, which I did this the other day, I actually got one of the really small, tiny hearing aids. They have a size called size 10 battery. It's about that big, and no one can see that. It's just it feels like it's just bigger than a pinhole. And I, with my great fingers that I apparently don't have, tried to replace these batteries. I can't imagine anyone over the age of 50 trying to replace these hearing aid batteries. They're so tiny. If you're still replacing hearing aid batteries, you got to try new hearing aids. Come in, free hearing evaluation, risk-free trial for 30 days, and then a gift card to the Home Depot as a thank you.
801-438-7058. That's 801-438-7058. Call now. Get on the books. Get that hearing test. It's all right here on 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.